Welcome to Ray and Kay Today, talking sports with friends.
Ray and Kay Today,
sports radio on the dial. Check us out, we'll make you smile. And they spit it, don't play. And we're talking nothing but the NFL and NBA, MLB, college football.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the show on this upset Saturday. But don't be upset, because you're with us, Ray and Tay Today. And I'm Ray, Tall Racer.
And I'm Tay, Eric Taylor. And like Ray said, it's a special show, a special Saturday show. Give us a call, 718-664-9098. Like always, hit us up at rayandtaytoday@gmail.com. Check out the website, rayandtaytoday.com. A lot of stuff going on there. Tweet at us. Twitter's on fire. College football, baseball going crazy. It's just, oh, my God, a great day. But you know what? I got to give some props to the man, and his name is Tall Ray Side. Ray's got a special announcement. Ray, you joined the club, baby. You're catching up with Tay. I got four. You got one.
You are the man.
Tell our listeners, our friends. We talk sports with friends and our family. Let them know, man.
Yeah, joined this club on Sunday. A new father. Not getting much sleep, trying to get my sports in, trying to get my, you know, do my job at home. But, yeah, no, it's the best job you could ever have. So definitely excited about that.
That's great, man. Congratulations, Ray, Tal, and Erica. They brought in a beautiful baby girl. That's awesome, man. So you know what? She'll be playing and talking sports before we know it and singing along with Ray and Tate today. So, Ray, I mean, listen. This right here, I mean, I guess starting with college football, because we'll get to the playoffs, it was all boom. First, Oregon goes down Thursday. Then Friday, boom, BYU goes down. Their quarterback's out for the year. Shout out to Utah State, you know, my school, you know, pulling
the Aggies.
Upset. Them Aggies, man. But then today, Ray, it was we already know this, right? Ole Miss has never beat a top 10 team, but both schools from Mississippi beat top 10 teams at home in the SEC and will be ranked in the top 10. So shout out to the state of Mississippi. It's on fire right now. Ole Miss 23-17 over Alabama, and then Mississippi State, they smacked down with the new star of the SEC, Dak Prescott, the quarterback who throws for 200, runs for 77, five touchdowns accounts for. They beat Texas A&M 48-31. Ray, right now, are you ready to move to Mississippi and just salute them? What's up?
Well, you got to also salute the Southeastern Conference. Again, I hate to beat a dead horse, but you have Mississippi State, a number 12 team, beating a number 6 Texas A&M, and you have Mississippi 11 beating a number 3 Alabama. So you have four teams in the top 12 playing on a random week 4 Saturday, right? This isn't the SEC championship game. This is just a random week in the SEC. And LSU and Auburn, now Auburn's blowing them out, but again, that's an 8 versus 15 matchup.
Yeah. Which
Auburn is leading at the half, 31-7. So you also got to shout out
Auburn
and Nick
Marshall. Can we salute Nick Marshall?
Yeah, no doubt. But, you know, we'll get into college in a sec. But the one thing that you're happy about is there's a 14 playoff. Because we talked about this off air. There is going to be three, if not four, one-loss team. There may even be a two-loss team in the race for the for the national championship. So thank goodness we're not just putting two teams one against another.
Doesn't
we don't
it
have
make it more exciting?
Yet. It does.
It makes it so much more exciting.
And you know what? Teams like Michigan State that scheduled heavy early and lost to Oregon in the second week of the season, they're right back in the mix. So if they handle their business, that's the way it should be. You know, I feel like you can't have to go undefeated to have a chance at the national championship, because then a lot of teams won't schedule tough games out of conference. They'll just stick with their conference games.
Exactly. You know what I was impressed with today, you know, when you look at these teams And obviously UCLA plays later on tonight, so we spoke about that off air. At number 8, they play Utah at home. They have a chance to move up and really put their stamp on the Pac-12, which is a very, very strong conference. Right now, Arizona State is beating USC. They were up 15-7. But TCU takes care of Oklahoma. That game, 37-33, that game was amazing. At the corner, Dawson picked off Knight and ran it back in. On the extra point, Oklahoma blocks it and then runs back the two-point conversion. So that's what made it, instead of 38-31, 37-33. The game was amazing. Of course, our friends to the show, Charles Davis and Gus Johnson, were doing it. And, you know, Gus was just like, you know, so hyped up on the call. Makes you just want to run out on the field and play. Oh, USC scored, so now it's 15-14. Arizona's up by one. But you know what I mean? Like, it just gets you hyped up. But I give a lot of credit to TCU. They came in, they predicted 3 to 5 years that they'd be competitive in the Big 12, and it took them 3 years, and here they are. So salute the Horned Frogs, TCU.
The Horned Frogs.
Yeah, they're balling. And of course, teams like Florida State and Georgia, they just keep, you know, they big blowout wins this week. Same with Baylor. But, yeah, I thought that was interesting. And then right now we got Michigan State is up 14-0 on Nebraska, which, like you were saying, you know, they have a shot at number 10 to get back into the top 10 and solidify the Big Ten and be, you know, back in the mix, which they probably should be. They're one of the better teams. It'd be interesting to see if they can hold off Nebraska. With Amir Abdullah, who, you know, we got three running backs, Ray. I want to ask you, Amir Abdullah, Melvin Gordon from Wisconsin, and oh, shout out to Northwestern, who upsets Wisconsin today. Number 17 goes down, but Melvin Gordon's a beast. And then Todd Gurley, who might be the best of all of them. Who are you taking, those three backs? And are any of them this year, do we have a back? Is Gurley worthy of a first-round pick? You know how the running backs in the NFL, no first-rounders lately? You think he might break that mold?
I got to tell you, it's interesting because the last high first rounder that was taken in my, as I recall, is Trent Richardson. And he was number 4 overall.
Right.
And look how his stock is plummeted. Now, he maybe got exposed a little bit because he really only had 1 year behind Mark Ingram that he ran big and they won the national championship. But the day and age, now I think football is cyclical, and so the day and age of the running back is going to come back. I think one of the things that's going to come back is because you can possess the ball. I think one of the problems that Philadelphia is going to have, for example, is they can't play from ahead. They can't hold the ball, hold the clock,
and hold the lead. Yeah,
Chip Kelly's system. Sorry, it's too quick. And so in some ways it's great if you're tied, if you're behind, but in the fourth quarter in the playoff game, you know, it's 3rd and 2 and everybody knows you need to run, you know, off tackle. You need to be able to move the chains. So right now I'm not sure the NFL values the running back position, and especially now that they've gone, almost everybody's gone with the two-back system. So it's really hard to break in to be a top, you know, top 15, top 20 at the running back position. You have to be really, really special. So of all those guys, you know, maybe Todd Gurley, I don't know. Maybe. I don't know that anybody's going top 5, top 10, but maybe, you know, 10 to 20.
Yeah. And then also, we don't give enough props on this show. I mean, we are Michigan fans, and we don't give enough props to Notre Dame. But you know what? Today we must, Ray. 17-14, they beat number 14-ranked Stanford. You know, that's our guy, David Shaw. But you know what? The Stanford Cardinal having a rough time this year, and that was a big win from Notre Dame. They were, you know, a soft number 9. They hadn't been tested. Rice was probably their best opponent. But you know what? They handled Stanford. Stanford could not really move the ball. And Everett Golson, I mean, this kid, he drives down 3 minutes and change to go, drives down the field, 4th and 11 with a minute left, gets the touchdown and they win the game through a beautiful pass. And, you know, I got to give Notre Dame props. They played tough defense and a tough, you know, you when you beat Stanford, you earn it. And that was a tough win. So shout out to the Fighting Irish and their fans and the Notre Dame alum, you know?
Yeah, for sure. And you know what? As much as people hated to say it, Brian Kelly
is a good coach.
Really is a good coach. And he's You know what? He's a program manager, right? This
guy
brought his system.
Unlike Brady Hoke.
Brought his program to Notre Dame. And, you know, he basically righted that ship, and they're good. They're good. Notre Dame is in good, good shape.
Yeah, no, it was exciting. So, I mean, listen, you know, you talk about Notre Dame and UCLA and then the two Ole Miss teams, you almost wonder, like, is that going to be, like, the top five? Because it's really going to, you know, you could see it being, like,
yeah,
Florida
State might sneak back up in there.
Yeah, UCLA.
4, 5, 6.
Yeah,
UCLA,
it's
going to
be fascinating
tonight.
How they put it in order. You know what I mean? Do they, you know, like, you know, because going from 11 beating 3, how far does Ole Miss jump up? That would be
how far does Alabama fall?
Right,
you know?
Right. No, you're right. So this is going to be a very interesting week as college football plays out. We'll, you know, always keep you up with it. But you know what? Let's keep it moving, man, and let's talk about these baseball playoffs. I mean, you know, since you were gone and we, you know, predicted, you know, the wild cards, and I let everybody know, and you had it right with the Giants. They did their thing. The Royals did their thing. How about the Royals? First of all, right now it's 1-1 in what, the bottom of the 10th. Yeah, so that's the Nats in game 2 with the Giants. But how about the Royals? 3 games in a row, extra innings, and the team that doesn't hit home runs, they've been hitting some home runs, whether it's Moustakas or, you know, Dyson's great throw last night, whatever it is. The Royals, Perez with the clutch hit.
Is this 1985?
Dude, this
team. Is this 1985? Is that we doing a flashback?
It's hard not to root for them, to be honest, right? I mean, it's hard not to say, you know what, I'm all in on the Royals. They play such exciting baseball, Ray. It's amazing. And I got to tell you, I mean, you know, whoever it is, whether it's, you know, Gordon or, I mean, every one of their players, and they stole
Eric
what they.
Hosmer, Mike Moustakas.
Yeah,
you
Hosmer.
You know what's great
about
this team? Is that if you look at this team, it's hard to find, and I don't want to be disparaging, right? But
right.
It's hard to find a Hall of Famer on this team,
yeah.
Right? You look at, you know, one of
just
the
a bunch
keys
of scrappy
is that,
guys.
Yeah, and that unbelievable bullpen that they've pieced together, you know, with Holland and Wade Davis, who used to be a starter, now is just a fireballer out of the, you know, out of the bullpen, and then James Shields, their number one starter. But you look at now Sal Perez, it looks to be the real deal at catcher. But you
all
know, right. Eric Hosmer, Mike Moustakas, Alcides Escobar, Omar Infante. I mean, Alex Gordon was a top pick. Yeah, and your boy Aoki, but Billy Butler, you know, DHing. But none of these are – this isn't the Yankees core four. This is just a scrappy team that found a way, and the last time they were had a material impact, or even in the playoffs, 1985, and they won it all. Could you imagine if we had a repeat, a St. Louis-Kansas City repeat?
You
1985,
sure?
Daryl Porter. You know what I'm saying? Our boy, and the game went, what was that? That was that controversial play at first base, right?
First base,
in game 6.
Coleman, yeah.
Yeah. And it went Kansas City's way, and they ended up winning that game, and then winning game 7.
You know what's amazing is that they've taken it right to the Angels, and they're up 2-0. They come back Sunday, 7:37 start or whatever. The Angels are in trouble because you know what? Pujols comes through with the clutch hit. But Trout, Hamilton, these guys are striking out. The Angels they're not manufacturing runs and hits, and their pitching is just not – they're not getting clutch pitching. They're really looking bad, and I don't know, you know, going back to Kansas City, it could be a wrap. They're gonna need to bring their bats out something big, right? To stop the Royals. I think it's over. To be honest with you, in the AL, I'm looking at, you know, and the O's are up 2-0 over your Tigers. But beginning of the season, I had Rays and Dodgers. So I'm going to stick with my Dodgers, but I'm going to take the Orioles in the World Series. And I know you had, what, Tigers, Dodgers? What'd you have? Right. Oh, I might have lost Ray for a minute here. Let's see. Okay, Ray, you with us? But, yeah, so, I mean, you know, it's one of those things to me, the playoffs, where, and Ray will come back and join us in a minute, I guess, you know, had some phone difficulties. The Orioles are showing the Tigers, just like the Royals are showing the Angels, that it's timely pitching, clutch hitting, and great defense. And, you know, the O's, you know, I mean, come on, that was just a home run fest. They're going back and forth, 7-6, you know, whatever. But you got to be impressed with the way these teams in the American League are playing and just, you know, how everything is coming together for them. So, I don't know. I mean, for me, I'm fascinated to see what's going to happen. Ray should be back on.
Yeah.
In a minute. Yeah, there you go.
Technical difficulties.
That's all right. No, I was saying, you know, I mean, it's fascinating. And I said I was thinking of my picks, but I think you had, for you, I'm going Orioles Dodgers now because I had the Rays Dodgers. You had Tigers Dodgers, correct? Beginning of season.
No, I had Tigers and Nats, I think.
Oh, okay. Okay. So you're sticking
Tigers
with that for the World
Nats.
Series?
God, it's hard in a best-of-five series to come down 1-0, let alone 2-0. But you know what? Let me stick with my Tigers. Let me stick with my Tigers and Nats.
They have the pitch to do it. Why not, right? They
yeah.
Come back.
They do. They do. And I'll tell you what, if the Nats win this game tonight, man, they're in a showdown right now with the Nats. Did you see how that game went to extra innings? Poor Nats, you feel like, oh man, they take the shutout into the ninth, and then your boy, the big panda, he's unbelievable.
I mean, 13 game playoff hitting streak for Pablo Sandoval, and Buster Posey just took the wrong angle on the slide and got tagged out at the plate, or else they would have been up 2-1, and this game could be over right now.
Sandoval's up right now.
Top
right?
of the 11th.
Thornton's pitching to Sandoval, and he's got first and second, so he can come and be a hero again, Pablo.
Yeah, this is, you know, this is what you got to love baseball in the playoffs. Give credit, right, you know, to the hitters on the Cardinals and Dodgers. Wainwright and Kershaw are pitching, and it was not a pitcher's duel. That was, I mean, a home run derby, a hitting fest. I'll be interested to see game two tonight coming on shortly, Cardinals and Dodgers, you know, in that matchup. So, you know, I do think the Dodgers should be able to get it right and right the ship. But, you know, last night was some clutch. The Cardinals, it's one thing I will say, the Giants and Cardinals, they're not going to lose a series. You have to beat them. You have to. Their hitters
they won't
are just
beat themselves.
So amazing.
No, you're 100%
yeah.
right.
You have to beat them. You know, so that's that right there to me is like the key for these teams. Are these teams really ready to step up and learn how to win in the postseason? You know, and that's what you see even with the Royals and Angels. The Royals are so scrappy. The Angels don't have that postseason experience. You know, so the Royals are like, hey, we're coming right in. You know, the Orioles, the Tigers, both these teams have been in there the last couple of years. You know, so we'll see how that plays out. But the Cardinals and Giants, man, you know, you would think the Nats after last year, they should be ready this year. And their pitching is, you know, great force, great starters. But this will be a big letdown if the Nats lose this game and go down 0-2 to the Giants.
It would be, especially because the Nats have been knocking on the door. They've had this in sight for the last 2 years. And to go down 0-2 in a best of five, that's tough, man. That's really tough. So we'll see. You know, what's great about baseball is that play 162 games, sometimes even 163, the new format. And yet and still, these teams are, you know, they're excited about and their teams are excited about the next round of the playoffs. You still have to win a 5-game series and then a 2-7-game series. So there's the baseball, the whole month of October is baseball, or baseball's trying to get it from football, right? And now they're trying to swing baseball into November next year. So they're trying to do what they did in on 9/11 in 2001. They want to have the World Series end in November. So they're really trying to make it a sport that goes from February to November to take back some of what they're losing to basketball and to football. I don't know if they'll be successful, but this playoffs, there's no Yankees, there's no Red Sox, but this but this playoffs has still been great so far.
No, it has been great, and you know, I haven't checked the ratings, so that'll be interesting to look at come Monday, how the ratings are over the weekend and everything, because it's weird, right? They're on TBS and Fox Sports 1, so it's not exactly, you know, they had the one game on ESPN, the one wild card game for the National League. I don't think that's the best for ratings, period. You know, you'd like to be on regular Fox and ESPN, maybe. But we'll see. You know, I think that's interesting. Also, you know, I know the NFL draft, they moved the draft to Chicago April 30th to May 2nd. You know, so they're going to be a week earlier than they were last year, but they're leaving New York City because that's all booked up, and the NFL draft will be in Chicago. So, yeah, everybody,
that should be fun.
Yeah,
Give another city some love, you know what I mean? I love it in New York, but they were choosing, what, between Chicago and L.A.? So
right,
you know, give another city a chance to host it.
And right there in Chicago, you'll have Bears and Packer fans and, you know, the fans in the Midwest come in, the Viking fans. You know, people will come in and it will be it'll still be electric, I'm sure, wherever, you know, convention center or, you know, big hotel they do it at or whatever. So I think that's going to be either way, that's going to be fun. I'm starting to get excited, man. But, you know, the NBA is coming up, the training camps, starting to get, you know, we'll be talking NBA soon, have our preview coming up October 27th. I'll be getting excited, you know, getting our basketball guys back on. Wow, so it's still 1-1. Bottom 11th. Gosh, this
game.
Yeah,
they couldn't push that run across.
No, they couldn't. That was tough. So, well, you know, I'll say this. Can the Cardinals beat the? I mean, let's just look at each of these series. I mean, so can the Cardinals beat the Dodgers? Yes. Do you think they will? Up 1-0.
I think they very well might, just because, you know, it's hard to come and represent in the playoffs against a team that won't beat themselves, and the Cardinals are so clutch. I feel like the Dodgers and Don Mattingly. I'm still not, you know, he's our boy as a player. I'm still not convinced of his skills as a coach, as a manager. So I still love, the tie goes to the runner, in my opinion, and that's the Cardinals. So I kind of like the Cardinals in this matchup. The experience, they've won two of the last four World Series. The Dodgers don't quite have that playoff experience as a team, this current configuration.
Kershaw on the mound. It just hurts when your best pitcher, you know, comes out there. You got to get that W, you know, and I think that's what hurt the Tigers.
Your Cy Young / MVP pitcher, yeah, and that's disheartening.
Yeah, no, they hit some shots off of him too. That first home run was that Griffin hit a shot, and then, you know, they kind of got to him, and you know, before you know it, I mean, you know, and the Holiday home run is what really, I mean, they, you know, went up 10-6. That Holiday, a three-run shot, was the killer. You know, Carpenter, too, but Holiday, man. Matt Holiday only had, like, 19, 20 home runs in a season. But, you know, he's clutch. You know, really, really clutch. And we got to give props to our boy Buck Showalter, man, and the Orioles. They I think they've got something special. I think the Orioles, they really got something special. And, you know, being up 2-0 is a big deal because of the fact that they don't have the pitching that Detroit has. So I think, you know, they're going to be able to get one out of these next three. I think Detroit, you know, might be able to do something, but I think Baltimore will win one more game, and that's all they need to do. So, you know, and you know how I feel about them Royals, man. I think the Royals got the Angels. I think it's a wrap. They might sweep them.
Wow, that would be crazy.
Wouldn't
the Angels, who had the best record in baseball, who had the best second half in baseball, who had the best probably roster.
Was it 9-game wins? 99 wins? I mean, that's ridiculous.
Yeah. And our Kansas City Royals, I'm so excited, man. We might have to go. You know what? If the Royals win, man, they might have to represent. Somehow we need to get somebody from Kansas City or just from the state of Missouri on the show. I mean, we might have a road trip to Kansas City, Kauffman Stadium. Could you imagine if they had the World Series at Kauffman Stadium?
That's huge.
We might have to find a way to get out there. Ray
nah,
and Tay
nah,
on the road.
Ray and Tay from Kauffman Stadium, yeah. I heard it's a, you know, it's a great sports town. And after that Monday night game, they had the back-to-back, you know, the Chiefs and then this. It's great. Well, let's rock some beats and let's come back and talk week 5 in the NFL. And Ray's Packers are back.
Hello, hello, and we are back. We're back to talk NFL, and like our boy Aaron Rodgers told his fans in Green Bay, he said, just relax. He said, R-E-L-A-X. Relax. Now, it's like when you call a players-only meeting and you're playing the worst team in baseball or in basketball the next day. It's great to say relax when you know you're playing the Minnesota Vikings without –
Well, no, he said it when they were playing the Bears, though. He said it.
No, he did. That's true. No, I give him credit.
He relaxed on both of them.
They took out their frustrations on Minnesota. And you know, I had him in fantasy, and a couple of my fantasy, three of my fantasy leagues. So I was
I know you're feeling good, but he didn't throw for many yards. They took him out early.
But that's, you know, that's a function of the scoreboard. They took him out. They were up so much in halftime. They didn't need him in the second half. Matt Flynn got some burn.
Well, you know what? The one thing that I take away from that game, I realize this new regime with the new coach, Zimmer, I think he's a great coach. They've gone through so much in Minnesota, but they really like and believe in Teddy Bridgewater, and Christian Ponder is not an NFL quarterback. Bridgewater will come back next week. He'll have the extra rest. And I think they're going to be ready to go because when Bridgewater was in there, that offense was good and explosive, even though playing the Falcons. So I didn't expect them to do anything against the Pack. That was by no means any shock or surprise. But this week, man, let's talk about some of our fantasy studs and we break down these games. We got some good, good games. And the first one, this is a lot of fun for you because it's the battle of the state of Texas. The 3-1 Houston Texans at the 3-1 Dallas Cowboys.
And you know, both teams are not 3-1 teams. Let me just put that out there. But
respect to
both of them for, you know, winning three of their, you know, first quarter, they win three games.
It's huge for both of them. I think, you know, you got to get that good start. You know, you can only play the games that are on your schedule. But I think a huge advantage to either one of these teams that wins this game in terms of actually making a push to make a wild card or to make a playoff run. I think this one right here, the problem is for me, the Texans, I don't think Arian Foster is going to be 100%, and I just don't think Alfred Blue is enough. I think the Giants proved that you can run on the Texans, even though they have a good defense, and J.J. Watt is just – we spoke about it the other day when Oren was on, you know, the MVP candidates are, you know, DeMarco Murray, J.J. Watt, and Andrew Luck, to me, the top three guys. And J.J. Watt is a man child. But
and he catches touchdowns now, too.
I know, right? It's great. You know, you saw some of his skill at Wisconsin, but wait till Clowney gets back. They're going to be, Houston's going to be fine. But I think, not only Dallas at home, but I think what we're learning is that Dallas actually is building the team the right way. They got a strong line, but they are not shying away from DeMarco Murray. They're giving him the rock, and it only makes Romo better to throw to Bryant and Witten and Williams. So I actually think it's going to be a good game, but I'll take the Cowboys 24-20 over the Texans in this one. I really do, and I like Murray again to put up a touchdown at 115 and no fumbles.
Oh, you know, I don't want to jinx them because the Cowboys, that's my team, but I think you're right. I think they're at home, and I think by being at home gives them a little bit of an advantage, even though it's an in-state Houston team. But you know the state of Texas will always be that for the Cowboys. I think the Cowboys have some issues sometimes in the secondary, but Andre Johnson's a little banged up. Arian Foster's a little banged up. And so when your top two weapons are banged up and the team you're playing, Dallas, if they can hold on to the football and not make mistakes, and you know, even though DeMarco Murray's the man running, leading the NFL rushing, he fumbles too much. So if he can hold on to the ball, you got to figure Dallas is going to score some points. So the Texans not being as explosive as they usually are on offense, and you know, they're apt to make a mistake. Ryan Fitzpatrick will make some mistakes. So the Cowboys put up 30, and I think the Texans put up, I'll say 21. So I think the Cowboys end up winning pretty, maybe 24, let's call it. So the Cowboys end up winning pretty easily.
Yeah.
Win back the state of Texas.
Do you see your boy Murray, though? He is on pace to break Eric Dickerson's record. That's like no slouch. First four games, over 100 yards each game. He's
yeah,
really playing
well.
Yeah,
he also gets injured a lot and he fumbles a lot. So I don't think he'll have a good season. He may have 1,500 if he stays healthy. But he's not running for 2,000. I think that's a little
yeah.
aggressive.
You got to hope as a Cowboy fan, though.
Oh, no, I definitely hope. Shoot.
Now, we got a good AFC battle here, the Baltimore game, right? It's the old Baltimore Colts. You got the Baltimore Ravens at the Indianapolis Colts. And this one here, to me, it's funny because you got big arms in both quarterbacks, and I think they both can make big mistakes. But the one thing that I like about the Colts, they seem to be running the ball with Richardson and Bradshaw, and they're keeping a nice offensive balance. So whether it's Hakeem Nicks or Hilton or Wayne or Allen or Fleener, Luck is just spreading it around. He's like he's Chris Paul right now. And I think the Ravens have had a very good season. You know, Steve Smith is a champ, and he took it to the Panthers. But I just think Baltimore's good run is going to stop here in Indianapolis. I think Indy gets a good win. I don't blow them out or anything, but I think they get a good win. I'll say not as high scoring as everybody would think. I'll go 26-20 Colts, and I think T.Y. Hilton gives you the six receptions, 111 and a touchdown, something like that.
I look at the Ravens at 3-1, and I look at the Colts at 2-2, and I think I'm scared of the Colts more than I am of the Ravens. And
mm-hmm.
I think the Colts, if they can get it together on defense and they can play more consistently, and another team that they have these wild swings. They go up, they come back, they you know, they're down 17, they win games. I just think if they can establish the run early, then Andrew Luck is an assassin. And you're right, Andrew Luck might just be the MVP because they typically give it to an offensive player. I don't know if J.J. Watt's going to win the MVP, but DeMarco Murray, like you said, 3-1 team.
And you saw the pace that Luck is on, right? He's on pace for like Manning stats, over 5,200 yards and 50 touchdowns. So
Yeah, he's got 1,313 already right now. So I just think Baltimore is missing a little bit of explosion and a little bit of consistency on offense. And by Ray Rice not being there, you know, the Pierce, Forsett, Taliaferro running the ball, and then Pitta going down, and Torrey Smith not being the guy that we hoped he would be. Sorry for you Maryland alums out there listening to Manning Tay, starting with Tay. Steve Smith can only do so much. He's 35. He's been, you know, he's really the only true weapon on that team.
Right.
Owen Daniels, nice replacement for Pitta, but ultimately I just don't think they can score enough.
And Jacoby
Jones
hasn't done that much this year. I haven't seen Jacoby, you know, step up as the third receiver that much.
Yeah, true. And on the road, I think to beat Indianapolis, you're going to have to go in there and either shut them down, which I don't think they can do, or outscore them, which I don't think they can do either. So I think the Colts at home could put up 30. I'm not sure the Ravens can do much more than putting up 20. So I'm looking for a big win by the Colts, and I think the Ravens are going to come back with a little bit of their tail in between their legs. They're not really a 3-1 team, but the Colts are. So I think both teams end up being 3-2 after this week. Oh, as
yeah.
for my fantasy stud, I got to go with Andrew Luck. I think he'll run for a touchdown. He'll throw for three, and he'll give you four touchdowns. Probably
Ooh.
Go 280 and four touchdowns.
Well, you know, I like that. My fantasy league, my quarterback is Luck and Phillip Rivers and two of them. So I'm having a very good fantasy year with those guys. Phillip Rivers is another MVP candidate. Quiet is kept too. You know, he's really. Looking good. So let's talk about this. We could actually talk about that game too, but let's talk about first Arizona at Denver. And this one's interesting.
By the time I get to Arizona,
they both had the bye. Could be a Super Bowl preview. You know, the 3-0 against the 2-1. You know, the one thing you feel bad is that Carson Palmer just can't get this nerve and his shoulder to calm down. He's seen specialists out here. You know, he's doing whatever he can do. But it's okay because I think Drew Stanton is driving it the way Arians wants him to drive it, and he can make the throws. He's actually a very solid – you know, I wouldn't want to bank the whole season on him, but I think a couple of games you can do what you got to do. The question to me is, can Arizona follow the Seattle blueprint to stopping Denver? And I actually think they can in a way because they have the corners. They have a secondary. They actually have a fast defense. But I don't know if the front four can get the pressure to mess Manning up. So I think what's going to happen is it'll be rough sledding for a while for Denver, but then eventually they'll be able to sort of overcome it, and they'll get to pay dirt and get their scores and touchdowns. So I actually think I think the spread was like 7.5. I don't know if they're going to cover, though. I'm actually going to go 27-20. It's not going to be super high scoring.
Wow.
I'll take Denver 27-20. And, I think Ellington will do good in this game. I think actually Julius Thomas will be the one to do a little something because I think the receivers will have a rough way to go at first. But Manning will get his three touchdowns, and Manning and Julius Thomas will do their thing, and the Broncos win. A tough game. Cardinals are tough. They're a good team.
Wow. Well, I agree with the outcome. I think the Broncos are going to win. I think the Broncos are going to win big. They have a loss on their schedule. Basically, they're trying to go 12-4, 13-3, have the best record in the AFC, especially now that the Patriots are showing signs of weakness. They really only have to worry about, it looks like,
Cincinnati and the Colts.
In their division and Cincinnati,
yeah.
And potentially the Colts. The Colts already have two losses. So Denver is out to prove that, you know, they're not a fluke. They're an elite team. They're going to go to the playoffs. They're going to go, they hope, to the Super Bowl, and they're going to win a Super Bowl. So even though Arizona has got a tough defense, I think they're only averaging 15 points allowed a game.
Mm-hmm.
So in their first couple games, only allowed an average of 15 a game. I think that this team is tough. This team is so tough. And you give them 2 weeks to prepare. I think Denver puts up 34. And I just don't see Arizona having the juice to put up more than 23. So I like an 11-point Bronco win.
Ooh, those boys in Vegas will like you. You don't like the Cardinals secondary, though, matching up? Remember, they got Dale Buchanan, Tyron Matthew, along with the big corners
Patrick
and Kamadi and Patrick Peterson. Yeah.
But the thing is, so that is the formula of Seattle. I just don't know that they can, like you said, their front seven or specifically their front four can punch Denver in the mouth like that. And to me, with Welker and Sanders, Thomas and Thomas, all healthy – Thomas is a little banged up, but that's just tough. I think Emmanuel Sanders is the guy now to me that will never get double teamed.
He's so much better than Decker. Can all those fans, you know, that thought Decker was something and he's a mess in New York, can't even play. Can we just stop? Sanders is so much better, and he's no joke. I got to say that. I'm upset with Eric Decker. Ugh.
That's your ex-Steeler right there. Another guy that left.
Sanders, oh, please. He's amazing. He's amazing. He really is. He's a very talented receiver. So, hey, we got it. Before we continue with the football, let's update. So, you got top 12, 1-1 still. And then
4-1-1.
Top first, Cardinals, Dodgers are on their way for all the, the baseball playoffs. And with the college football, it's really looking big for Auburn. And USC's in a dogfight, 17-15. And Michigan State shutting out Nebraska, Ray. You got to like that, right? 17-0? Gosh. So
I had Michigan State being in top four and potentially playing for the national championship. So, I like Michigan State. I told you that Oregon team is just a bad matchup for style. But look for Michigan State, man. Look for them to go all the way, at least to the Final Four.
No, definitely. So before we get to KC at San Fran, I want to do the Jets at Chargers. I just want to ask you, how bad will the Jets lose this game? Because no Decker. I think Chris Ivory and Johnson could wake up and get some running on the Chargers. I think the Chargers, and I tried to tell you this in our preview, man, that defense and that team is a lot better than a lot of people think they are. And even with their injuries, I like their defense, and Corey Legit and those guys, and they got some speed. Even though Tao got hurt, a linebacker, but they got the young kid Verrett, a corner, some players. But the offense, Phillip Rivers, he's making Eddie Royal look good. Malcolm Floyd, your boy Keenan Allen's becoming a legit number one receiver, and then Gates and this young kid Green might get going. The Phillip Rivers is playing. I think Mike McCoy. We're seeing McCoy's a real good coach. I could see 35-17 Chargers over the Jets, and everybody just gets off on them.
I didn't think the Jets were going to be very good this year. I thought they'd be maybe 7-9, possibly 8-8. But the Jets were dealt a crazy murderer's row. They played Oakland in Week One. Of all the quarterbacks, right? Green Bay, Chicago, Detroit, San Diego, Denver, and New England. Now, New England was in the division, so they were going to play Brady twice. But on consecutive weeks to play Rodgers, Cutler, Stafford, Phillip Rivers this week.
Oh, yeah.
Peyton Manning next week.
I don't think anybody has anything like that. That's just brutal.
That's
brutal.
Yeah, that's just brutal. And I think Rex... he had this great season last year because he really made lemonade from lemons. But I don't know what he's doing this year because,
Is it time? Look what Buffalo did, right? They bench E.J. Manuel. They're going to Kyle Orton. So I kind of have to take back my I'm sorry because now I was going to say, and I said it last show, we need a new segment. I told you so. Because I was kind of right with E.J. Manuel in Buffalo. And so now they're going with Orton. And which I think is smart. They smell blood in the water with New England for the division. Should the Jets also say, hey, Gino, you're just doing too much. Let's see what Mike can do and go with Vic. What do you think?
At this point, I would only sit Vic. I mean, I would only sit Gino if you don't think he's the man, which I'm okay with. And Jeff Idzik needs to make that decision, especially this year with so much talent coming out at quarterback. He'd like to see a Brett Hundley in a Jet uniform, the UCLA star or possibly a Mariota, depending on how far the Jets fall in the playoffs. But I think you got to give Geno every opportunity. Michael Vick's 35 years old something like that. You got to give Geno Smith every opportunity. Now, if you didn't give it to him in training camp, Michael Vick, you have to give Geno the opportunity to play himself out of this.
He hasn't done so bad that you're ready to just completely dump Geno.
No, not yet. But I tell you what, he's got to do something in the next four games.
It's so funny. If he stops the interceptions and the fumbles and just doesn't turn the ball over, maybe you punt it sometimes. The Jets could probably win some of these games. They could have beat Detroit and Chicago. They really could.
Yeah, he's made some plays. He has made some plays, but like
a second-year
player, he shoots himself in the foot far too much. And turnovers, the Jets are not explosive enough on offense, and they don't create turnovers enough on defense. They're a very solid, great defense. They mimic their pass rushes. They have a great front four, the strength of the whole team. But they're not very dynamic on offense or on defense. So that ground and pound and that bend but don't break on defense, that's great. But if your quarterback turns
points.
It over,
you
can't make up for that. You can't. You're just not explosive enough to recover from that.
Now they've done them a disservice though, because how could you develop when you don't have a number one receiver, and your number two's a one, your number three, your number two's a three or four. You know what I mean? Decker and Curley. I like the young kid Jay Samara. We're seeing some potential from him, but they still should bring in two more receivers. I mean, let's be honest. So that's pretty frustrating. So let's go on. We got some more games left. How about this? The Kansas City Chiefs, after injuries and looking rough and bad, what they did last Monday night, Ray, they're going out to San Francisco, to Levi Stadium, to play the Niners. This is a very interesting game. This is the Alex Smith Bowl. Alex Smith is back. His stats have been comparable to Kaepernick's. You know, even though Kaepernick has done a lot of winning, he hasn't won a Super Bowl. And Alex Smith, he's got a lot to prove in this game. This could wind up being a sneaky, sneaky, sneaky game. I don't even know. This is a coin toss for me. I'll say this. They got back to, and we spoke about it, right? They needed to get back to running. Well, that's what they did against the Eagles. Frank Gore. And look, the old man is not dead yet. I like Carlos Hyde, but Gore is still – he's a Hall of Fame running back. We talked about it this summer on our show. Gore is a Hall of Famer. And I think the reality is, yeah, you got four good receivers in Crabtree, Bolden, Lloyd, and Stevie Johnson, and he'll start to use them a little bit more each week. He gets more and more confident. He's got to stop looking down Crabtree's throat all the time. But I think the Niners will squeak out an exciting, rough, back-and-forth game. You know, right now they got Niles Davis and Jamaal Charles, probably the two best combo running backs in the game. Niles Davis is the truth. I think the Niners win a slugfest, Ray, 26-24. But Alex Smith, he walks out holding his head high in that building with a couple of touchdown passes, or maybe two touchdown passes and a run. But I'll go with the Niners winning a close one.
Okay, so the Niners are favored by 5.5.
Yeah, they're not covering.
Really? See, I think they are. I think that the Niners – I keep beating a dead horse, but I think they're playing down to their talent level. They're better than a 2-2 team.
What about the locker room? With all these stories, Deion Sanders, Jay Glazer, everybody, I mean, everybody's saying it's all true. The players are like, they're tired of him, man. They are tired of Harbaugh.
Yeah, they might be. And you know who had that same situation? A little older, but the Giants and Tom Coughlin, and he was able to win two Super Bowls. Remember how the Giants were just tired of him, and then finally he changed in 06, 07, and then in 07 they ended up winning, and then they came back again in 2011.
Right.
So
I think Harbaugh will be gone, though. I don't think he's going to change, and I think he'll be at Michigan next year or the Dolphins.
You might be right, and every situation is different, but I just think that ultimately this game is played at Levi Stadium. And this Chiefs team, to me, if you can contain, they really only have one playmaker. And well, actually, Niles Davis, maybe the playmaker position of running back. But Jamaal Charles and Niles Davis, though, if you can stop Jamaal Charles, I think you really force Alex Smith to win you the game. Now, Alex Smith, it turns out, is quite a decent quarterback. But I still come back to the San Francisco defense being able to contain and keep everybody in front of them and play hard and make you beat them and make you make a mistake. So unless Jamaal Charles has a huge game, I like the Niners in this game. I like the Niners in this game to take care of business. I think the Niners are having some trouble clicking, like you said, on the field, off the field. I still think at home they win this game 27-20.
Now, what's up with Vernon Davis? Is he, you think he'll be back healthy? Like, that's a concern, too, not just fantasy.
He's another
guy
that can't stay healthy.
Yeah, that's, you know, they really need, you know, they need him. I mean, they really do. He changes it. I like Vance McDonald and, you know, some of the old guys.
But you know what's been great? Stevie Johnson. You know, Stevie Johnson was a stud in Baltimore 2-3 years ago. So
in Buffalo,
He's some unknown. And
no.
When Anquan Boldin exits stage left, they definitely have another stud to put across from Crabtree. So
I think it was a great move.
Vernon Davis.
I picked him up in fantasy
now.
I think he's going to start to be a legit fantasy player, Stevie Johnson.
Johnson.
Yeah. So, okay, so now we got the Sunday night game, Ray. This one is going to be really interesting just because everybody is ready to, you know, write the obituary for Brady and the boys. But you got 3-0 Cincinnati at the 2-2 New England Patriots on Sunday Night Football. Remember last year, Cincinnati beat them. They played tough in Cincinnati. The Patriots, they, you know, got rid of Kembrell Tompkins, released him, waived him. You know, Brady and Belichick, we're moving on to Cincinnati. We're moving on to Cincinnati, the press conference. I don't know. I'm either, like, leaning towards the Bengals because I think they're really turning the corner, or I'm like, the Patriots will find a way to step up and redeem themselves. And I'm just like, oh, my gosh. You know, but I think what I'm going to have to do is go with Cincinnati and their defense because right now they've been top three defense in the NFL. They're not giving up too many points. And I think with Giovanni and I think with Jeremy Hill starting to develop, he's getting more touches and some touchdowns. I think the Patriots defense hasn't played so consistent, even though they've got a lot of good names. And I think the Bengals are ready to sort of get a big road win. And I think this will be that forum where they can sort of show everybody Dalton and Marvin Jones is back with Sanu. So I actually think the Patriots' woes will continue because they do have a pass rush in Cincinnati and their defensive line is strong. And let's be honest, the Patriots didn't sign anybody over the week. That offensive line, they're still young. They still have got to gel together. Yes, they can play better, but they also just, they're not so talented. And that's the reality. And Brady, like I like to tell Ray, when a quarterback cannot scramble and he cannot move and he's slow and old, and you get in his face, it's hard to get, you know, the ball down the field, and he's throwing the ball. Receivers aren't getting open. So I think it's a bad recipe. I like the Bengals 27-20 over the New England Patriots.
So everything on paper, how about them Bengals? Everything on paper tells me the Bengals are going to win. The Bengals have the better offense. The Bengals have the better defense, potentially. The Bengals are 3-0, huge momentum, still frustrated over their playoff performances the last couple of years, still looks like they're hungry. When they step out on the field, probably, you know, Tom Brady's a Hall of Famer, but A.J. Green's probably the best player on the field and right now at this point in their careers.
Oh, yeah.
But having said all of that, I look at the Patriots and I say to myself, wait a minute. Is Bill Belichick still the coach? Yes.
Nope.
Is Tom Brady still the quarterback? Yes. Is Tom Brady over being an elite quarterback? Probably. At the mega elite level where he was, you know, one of the top three or four best. But I don't know that it's all Tom Brady's skill. I think it's that Julian Edelman, Danny Amendola are his two top targets. Now, releasing Kembrell Tompkins between games 3 and 4, that's still weird to me. I don't know what team does that. So unless he did something off the field that we don't know about, I mean, it's just weird to me to release, and he's a second-year player. It's not like he's a 10-year vet that you say, well, he lost
his staff. Who's shown potential.
But,
It's not like he had his own potential.
So I just don't get it. But I cannot, for some reason, it's one of those where, you know, the rational part of your brain says one thing, and then the other part of your brain says, wait a minute.
I feel you. I was going
to
pick the Pats, too.
You're trying to tell me the Patriots are going to go 2-3? And
say what?
Potentially, yeah, say what? Potentially let, you know, Miami, the Jets, Buffalo, all of those teams back into the hunt in, for the AFC East? I don't know. And maybe I'm drinking the Kool-Aid, but I don't know. I really believe that your boy Belichick is going to get them together. And they won't be able to do this for 16 games, but I think they can get up here and there for the games they have to win. And again, it's not a must-win unless you're facing elimination from the playoffs, but they got to right this ship. So I think they win. I think they win a close game. It's funny because Cincinnati's favored by a point in New England. Who would have thought that? But I think the Patriots win 27-24.
Who gives you some fantasy love?
You know what? I love A.J. Green in a losing effort.
Yeah.
And I think Vereen, maybe, out of the backfield for the Patriots might catch a couple touchdowns. Spread out the Cincinnati defense, and then Vereen sneaks into the secondary, or basically, you know, beats a linebacker for a touchdown or two.
Hey, you know, it all sounds good. It's it's hard to believe we're at this place with them. They're my Super Bowl pick to lose to Seattle. But I really thought with this defense and the balance on offense, I thought the young guys, Dobson and Tompkins, would start to develop a healthy Gronk, Edelman, Amendola. I thought this would be the year where they would turn the corner. You know, I didn't anticipate the Mankin trade. I thought that was a bad trade. By the way, where is Timothy Wright? Is Tim Wright going to play? Are we going to see him? He's not even, you know, he's not even becoming a weapon on offense, which makes no sense if you traded for him, right? So the whole thing is very bizarre in New England, and I think sometimes Belichick is too smart for his own good, and we've seen that over the last how many years, because guess what? They haven't won in so long, and part of it's been his fault. You know, I think he needs some criticism, not giving the maybe top 3, 4, 5 all-time best quarterback enough weapons to his career. Like we always say, him and Cam Newton doing more with less. And I was laughing because I don't know if you saw on Monday Night Football, Trent Dilfer, Steve Young, they basically said our segment, they were like, this guy's been doing more with less. I was like, that's right, that's Ray and Tay, baby. We said
that's
that.
That's how we do it.
That's Tom Brady. Oh, ASU takes the lead, 18-17. Good for them. Go ahead, ASU. Boy, Arizona,
man. Baseball, they're still tied up.
Yeah. What are we going? Top of the 12?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, bottom of 12. Bottom of 12. That's crazy.
Just now going, yeah, bottom of the 12.
But, yeah, man, so, you know, hey, listen, we'll see how it is. Great show. You know, Monday we'll be back. Obviously, we already talked college, so we'll probably have a, you know, maybe just a quicker show. Just give you the football. Pretty soon we'll be hitting you with the NBA, Ray. It's coming. That's gonna be
I'm
fun.
Ready.
Yeah, I'm ready too. Ray.
But you know what? I hate to do this because you know football is our sport and we love it. But let's give baseball some props. I mean, you know, for our Ray and Tate fans out there. Watch some baseball playoffs, man. There's some good storylines. And you know what, again, with the East Coast bias, you don't need the Yankees and the Red Sox in the playoffs to be interesting and to have the playoffs be fun. So take a look at the baseball playoffs. We'll keep bringing
Definitely.
It to you for the next month
yeah.
or so. And let's go Royals, man. Let's have a small market
team.
Let's go Royals.
I know. I was going to say, Ray and Tay for the Royals, baby. That's, you know.
Yeah, our Pirates went out. In that one game play-in, but our Royals are still pulling kind of strong, so we like that.
Definitely. They went out rough.
Yeah, no doubt. So, yeah, have a great rest of the sports weekend. Check out NFL football tomorrow. We'll be back regular time on Monday, and we'll talk some more NFL, NBA.
Yeah. Thanks for
MLB.
Listening. Talk some sports with friends. Peace.